Praise God.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. Today is another day that we give thanks to God. In the meantime, we're supposed to have a young lady on the name of Brenda Reverend Dr. Lipscomb, who's supposed to talk about the ministry. Unfortunately, she has not arrived, but I do have a young man. I'd like him to say a word or two. Are you there, Reverend Dr. Gregory Williams? Are you there?
Hey, Dr. Hunter, how you doing?
I'm okay. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing real good, my man. Just tuning in, just excited, just wanting to hear what the doctor had to share with us today.
Yes, well, I have a, am I going to be on the prayer line? Today is Friday, isn't it?
Yeah, today is your day. Hold on 1 second. Hold on, doctor.
Sir. Hello there. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Go right ahead.
Well, good morning, listeners out there. This is Minister Brenda. Just want to greet you, first of all, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What I have decided under the leading of the Holy Spirit to talk to you about Colossians, the third chapter, and I'm going to go through it a little bit verse by verse, starting with the first verse. And it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." And it starts off with if, and we know that's a preposition, if, and it says, if you then be risen with Christ. In other words, if you say that you are born again and that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then you should seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, where Christ is sitting, interceding for you. But it's only if you are risen with Christ. And how can you be risen with Christ? According to his word, that we are buried with him, but then we are risen with him. And as we are risen with him, we are risen a new creation in Christ Jesus. We are no longer that person that we used to be. Have we physically changed? And I love to point that off. No, we have not physically changed, but there has been a change in our heart. There has been change in our mind. As Romans says, be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, we have to continuously grow in grace and knowledge. We have to continually grow in those things that are of Christ. So if we are then, if we are right now risen with Christ, we need to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitting on the right hand of God. And it's a joy to know that there is someone that is interceding on our behalf and that we have grace and mercy. Because mercy say, of course, we are guilty as charged, but grace says our Lord and Savior is sitting there interceding for us on our behalf. And so in order to have this right fellowship with Christ, then we've got to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand. Verse 2 says, set your affection on things above. Or here we go again. Seek those things which are above. Set your affection. Set your love. Set your attention. Set your being on things above, not on things on the earth. There are plenty of things here on the earth, but they're not for the born-again believer. And we have to be careful where our heart's in. And Matthew says, where you lay your treasure, that's where your heart is. And so we have to be careful that our heart is in the right place, that our affection, that our love, that our attention, things above. When we seek godly things, then we won't have time to seek earthly things, which is why we've got to always stay prayed up. We've always got to stay in an atmosphere with other believers. That's why it says, forsake not the assembling. It doesn't mean that you've got to be in the building every Sunday, or you got to be in the building every Saturday, or whatever day you choose to go to the house of worship. It means to be around like-minded people so that you can keep your affections, your interests, your desires where they need to be. And if you hang out with the worldly people, the Bible says they're going to draw you, or you're going to draw them. And it says to be in the company of witnesses, because we cannot go up against the enemy alone. Christ did, and he was successful. But we are not Christ, but we are Christ-like. So we don't have that stamina. Christ was God himself incarnated as a man. So he had the power to slay Satan if he wanted to. But we don't have that power. So we have to continue to renew our minds, continue to strengthen ourselves in the things that are of Christ and the things that are godly, so that we will be able to stand and withstand the trials of the enemies. And, of course, we know that Ephesians gives us those weapons that we need in order to be able to stand in that time. Because in Ephesians...
Go ahead.
Okay. A lot of people would say at that point, that's nobody but the enemy. We give the enemy too much credit. That was not the enemy. That was a cellular phone dropping a call. And so I'm going to find a little humor in that. I don't think some of you might, some of you will, you know. But like I was saying, in Ephesians, it tells us in the sixth chapter that we need to understand some things. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So it is not my brother. It is not my sister. It is not my boss on the job or whatever. I have to understand who the enemy is. And the enemy is not the person that has flesh and blood as myself. but we wrestle against principalities. That means principles, issues, you know, the things of the heart that are of God and the things that are not of God. We got to fight against those things. It says against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So then when we understand that our enemy is not our fellow man, then we know how. Because it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There are some strongholds in our life, and we're not exempt as believers, you know, because Paul is talking to the believers, and he's warning them, or he's instructing them, that you're going to be tried on every side. But God has put in place a refuge for you. And it says, wherefore, take unto you the whole. In other words, don't pick and choose what part of the armor of God that you're going to put on, that you're going to use, because if you don't put on the whole armor, then the enemy or the principalities or just the rulers of the darkness of this world are going to come at you the way that you did not cover and protect. So God says, put on the whole armor of God so that you can be completely and thoroughly protected. It says that you may be able to withstand. That means that you're going to be under attack. Armor of God, you're going to be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. To stand. And I use the military there. You know, you got to stand. You got to stand straight. They expect you, when they tell you to line up, that you got to line up. I don't know the terminology anymore, but when they tell you to stand at attention, they mean for you to stand at attention. And should we not stand more at attention for God? So if we want to be able to stand and withstand in the evil day, and trust me, we are living in that evil day right now. And so if we put on the whole armor of God, we will be able to withstand, and having done all, to stand. When I want to give up, when I want to give in, when I want to say that's enough, I can't handle anymore, the Bible says that I will be able to withstand, and having done all, to stand. I'm going to do everything that I can do, but what I can't do, God can do. And it says, stand, therefore. In other words, even when I don't feel like it, even when I think that the attack is too strong, even though I think that I cannot make it, it says to stand therefore. Uh-oh, therefore. You mean I got to stand in the face of all of this? I got to stand in the face of somebody spitting in my face? I got to stand in the face of somebody speaking evilly of me and trying to tear me down and tear my character down and just destroy everything that is about me and to challenge my faith? You, as David said, you defiled enemy. How dare you insult the living God? And this is the stance that we have to take today. How dare you insult the living God? So stand, therefore, in spite of everything, stand, therefore. How are you going to stand? You're going to have your loins girt about with truth. A liar can't stand. Why? Because he's a liar. And that means he's going to distort and say different things every time. Hey, liar, how is it today? Don't you see the clouds? It's going to rain. I don't see any clouds. It looks clear outside. Child, don't you see those clouds? And there are no clouds. But it says having your loins girt about with the truth. And they have a saying, the truth hurts. And a lot of times it does. Who wants to hear the truth about themselves? But you got to come to reckon with yourself. You've got to know yourself. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, I'm not righteous, but Jesus Christ is righteous, and I am righteous in him. So I got to stand with the truth, and I got to stand in righteousness. I can't stand in my own self, because if I try to stand in my own self, I'm not going to make it. I am not going to make it. And it says, and your feet shod, covered all up with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Jesus Christ didn't come to fight an earthly battle. He came to fight a spiritual battle. And he said, you got to prepare yourself. Put on the gospel of peace. I'm about peace and love and harmony. And then he says, above all, taking, you know, above all, I gave you the breastplate. I told you about truth. I told you you need to stand. But it says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Oh, my God, the shield of faith, that is to believe in the things that I cannot see. I got to have some faith to make this stand. I got to believe on the word of God. It says, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. I got to believe that. That's faith. I don't see how I'm going to be victorious, but I know that I got a God that can do anything but fail. So I got to take the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench. That means you're going to be able to get away. And if you don't get away, it means that you're going to make them so small that they are harmless. Harmless. Above all, taking the shield of faith, when you take your faith and put it in action, it is powerful. It is very, very powerful. Wherewith you shall be able to quench, not some, there's an important word right there, it says all. I want to ask the question, what is all? How many know all? All. It says that if you have faith, that you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He can shoot them all he wants, but my faith says not one will hit its target. That's some faith. I must believe. I must have faith. This walk with Jesus Christ is a faith walk. If I did not believe it, why did I start on my journey? If I did not believe the expected end, why did I start on my journey? The word, and I'm flipping around just a little bit, so please forgive me if you can't follow me, but the word in Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. If God gave this inspiration to be spoken of, to be spoken into our life, we have to believe it. Not just that one part of the scripture applies to us, but that all scripture applies to us. And here is that word again. It says all. We have to, you know, we have to understand. You know, a lot of people and a lot of pastors and a lot of teachers, they want to pick and choose and elaborate on a scripture and turn it around to mean what they want it to mean. But the Bible says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. If you don't believe it, try it. That is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is your faith. It's your foundation. It is what you believe in. For reproof, if you don't believe it, read it again. Go back until you get it. For reproof, for correction. Oh, we don't want to deal with correction. The word of God is going to correct us. the Word of God is going to allow us to know where we are not lining up. We are not taking on the whole armor of God. We are not taking on the whole belief that Jesus Christ was both man and God, and that he came to sacrifice, to shed his blood for you and I. Do you believe that he is the Son of God? If you don't believe that, you got to go back to the beginning point and start over again. If you don't believe it, it is why you don't have the
Hello? Are you still there? Hello? Hello? Are you still there? Are you still there? Brenda, are you there? What happened to her? Brenda?
Hello?
Go ahead. Finish up. You got what?
Well, it said I was muted, so
I didn't know. Go ahead. You got only 5 minutes.
Okay, well, let me hurry up with Ephesians. I think it's important that I finish this Timothy, so let me go back there. It says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And here's verse 17 that's very important. It says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So God has put in place a plan for us as human beings that we can be in relationship with him. So going back to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and it says, and take the helmet of salvation, you know, so salvation is our believing in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We got to take that as a helmet. We got to guard our head and our mind with the fact that Jesus Christ is our salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So I am understanding there that God only gave us one weapon of warfare, and that was the sword. And that sword is the Word of God. When you put the Word of God on somebody, you don't have to try to beat it into them. You don't have to force them to accept what you believe in, but you just give them what the Word of God says. Not your interpretation, but what the Word of God says, the unadulterated Word of God. Give them the Word of God. Give them the power that they need, but it's up to them to accept it. We can't force it on people. And so, and then it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. In other words, let's pray with thanksgiving. Let's take the word of faith and let's believe that God is able to do what he says. So when I pray, I says, God, I thank you for deliverance. I thank you for setting my son free. I thank you for giving me peace of mind. Lord, I just thank you for the food that you're going to put on the table. I don't know where it's coming from, but I believe by faith that you said that you would supply all my needs. That's why you got to study his word yourself so that you know when the enemy comes at you, when you know when the enemy is attacking you on the left and the right, that you can put the word of God on it. Look, I got protection. I got help right here. You can't see it, but my help is right here. My strength is right here. It's in the Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for giving me everything that I need to survive with in this world, this day. So I am praying always with all prayer and with all thanksgiving. I'm praying in the spirit because naturally, so what comes out of my mind might be a lie. What comes out of my heart might be a lie. So I'm going to have to pray in the spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and all supplication for all saints. That's why it's important that we don't just pray for ourselves, but we thank the Lord for working in other lives. I've been praying for 40 years at least that the Lord would save my brother, that he would bring him to the knowledge that God is God and Jesus Christ is who he says he is, and he was not just a mere prophet. He's the Son of God. He's both man and divine. He's both man and spirit, and he is able to do exactly what he said it was. It is not in Prophet Muhammad. It's in Jesus Christ. And so we have got to stay prayed up. We got to thank God. 40 years is a long time, but they walked in the wilderness 40 years, being supplied with everything they needed. And then yet, when they got ready to go to the promised, it was still some that didn't believe. How do we walk 40 years in the wilderness and not know that God was taking care of us, that God was not raining down manna from heaven? How do we walk in darkness when light is right there for us? Darkness cannot comprehend light, but light can comprehend darkness. So the light is there, and that light is Jesus Christ. Will you follow the light, or will you stumble in the darkness? The choice is yours. God is not a bully. He's not going to force you to accept him. He's not going to force you to believe in him. But if you get in that word and say it for yourself, the Old and the New Testament, don't leave it out. The Old and the New Testament shows you that God is a loving God. He is a protecting God. He will lead and guide you if you will allow him. So back to Colossians, set your affection on things above and not on things below. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And then it says, mortify, kill it. If it ain't of God, kill it. Kill it. You got to take a stance today. If it ain't of God, kill it. Therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, been there. Done that. And I had to go to my sister. This is a little testimony. When I was talking last week, you gotta share a little bit of the where God brought you from. I called my sister. I said, sis.
Go ahead on, Sister Ruth. Are you there? Okay.
And the guy ran away. The guy ran away. So it says fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. The world want to say today that same-sex marriages is okay before God. I go to Colossians, the third chapter. Mortify. Remember, and sometimes you walked. Sometimes you walked and you lived in them. But now you have put aside, put off all those things, and included are anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. And so I say to you, make up in your mind today who you want to live for, God or man, because you cannot serve two masters. Amen? Amen. Through Dr. Hunter. Dr. Hunter, are you there? Dr. Hunter. Well, to all of you that are out there in the listening world, I trust that I've said something, I've imparted something to you that will bless your soul and that will help you to stand and withstand in these last and evil days. God is with you. He will be with you. He will stay with you. The word says he will never leave you nor forsake you, even if your mom and your father, but he's going to be there always. God bless you. God keep you. It's my prayer.